I don't think there's anything we need to vote on necessarily.
All right, well, let's get started. Can we talk through what we've got going here?
Yeah.
All right, Brett, you're up first. You got to talk about what's upcoming from the county.
All right, so let's see. As far as Planning Commission, there's no meeting scheduled for this month. Council, in the January 4th hearing, a couple items of interest. They confirmed reappointments for Jeff, Eric, and Dan. And they also extended the contract for the housing option study for community planning so that can get completed. And they also designated Rob Klub as the county engineer and made that official. Work session yesterday, they just had an update on the Conservation Futures program. And for the January 18th meeting and January 19th work sessions, need to check in on their weekly calendar when those get updated. They're not posted yet. So the only other item I have at this time is tentative options for your work session with council for your annual report work plan. Dates are available for March 30th or April 6th. And I wanted to get a read from you guys on which one of those dates you would prefer. So I get that confirmed.
March 30th.
Or April 6th.
Or April 6th. One of those is going to be spring break, I think.
April 6th is spring break.
Yeah.
So it looks like it's going to be the 30th. Just to let you know that I am booked from 11:30 until 2 that day.
Okay, I believe the general time frame for the work session is going to be like 10 o'clock to 11:30.
Okay.
We generally book an hour and a half for that.
Okay.
That's what I'll request.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So that's what I've got.
All right, thanks, Brett. Well, just a reminder, this is being recorded. And I was trying to drag things out so we'd get a few more people and make sure we got a quorum, but did anybody get a chance to read through the agenda or the minutes?
I did, Mr. Chair, and have only one correction to be made, is that my last name is spelled O-D-R-E-N and not O-R-D-E-N.
Oh, picky.
Well, you know.
So let's make sure it's all right. We like that.
Just remember, it's Nerdo backwards.
You've never told us that.
I don't let just everybody know that. But you guys are like family to me. I've been here for like 10 years, so.
Makes sense. All right.
But other than that, I would move for adoption.
Second.
All right. All in favor? Yay.
Yay.
All right. Well, with that, should we turn it over to the new chairman for 2022?
We have Mr. to go through Housley? That. We have to go through that whole formal process, technically.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. We do.
And we need a quorum to do it also, technically. So let's, I would suggest, Dawn's here.
We'll wait on it.
Dawn's here.
So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, that's here, 5, and I make 6. So that's a quorum. So I would say that at this time, I would make a motion to have Jamie Housley be chair for 2022 for Development and Engineering Advisory Board.
I second that.
Second, absolutely.
All right, Dan, you're still running the show.
All right, I was gonna say we got more people joining here, so.
Okay.
All right, so Jamie's been nominated as the chair for this year. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
you're on
Thanks, Jamie.
Jamie learned the hard way. Don't miss a meeting, huh?
Don't miss a meeting.
All right.
Just kidding. Okay.
Well, you want to get your vice chair?
Yeah. Let's do the vice chair. The vice chair traditionally is the person that serves in the chair's absence and is in the catbird seat to take over in 2023. So I guess open up for nominations.
Well, who's missing?
Yeah. Don, I was thinking about, you haven't done it.
Neither has Seth.
Seth is a good choice. He's not here
I'm
either.
I'm still new to this, yes. You know. I don't even have a year in on this. Come once. On, guys.
Oh, Seth is here. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is your vice chair, so you have a year to figure it out.
I nominate Seth Hauling for vice chair.
Second.
Okay. It's been moved by Mr. Odrin and seconded by Mr. Russo. Any discussion? Going once, going twice, going three times. Okay. Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed?
That's me.
Attention. Okay. Well, Seth, you will be the vice chair for Deeb in 2022 with the expectation of moving up to chair in 2023. Okay. The next item on the agenda is the 2021 annual report and 2022-2023 work plan. And I sent around a very, very, very rough draft that Dan had sent me last month, and it included some notes that I took from our discussion last month there at the very end about items to consider for this next year. And I thought that we concluded last month with maybe people emailing us other stuff, but I can fully understand it's the holidays and then the weather came and probably dropped off the radar. So maybe we could just take a quick look at that. And if anybody's got any direction there, we can start including that on that. Otherwise, I don't know whether we could take it offline and start really fine tuning this thing. And we've got some time before we present it to the board, which sounds like it'll be that last week of March.
I think there's going to be a lot of work with the housing.
Housing options.
Yeah, the housing options.
Yes, from our meeting this morning, definitely.
They got a lot of good ideas. It looks like they're getting some real traction towards, you know, getting a proposal in front of the council, and I think out of that we're going to end up seeing a lot of things that we're going to have to work with staff on some of the minutiae around the code changes that are going to come out of that.
Yeah, there's some good concepts, but it really hasn't been vetted by people who actually use the code, and I think our feedback is going to be pretty valuable in how to implement some of the concepts they have, like, you know, just some of the, you know, one example was doing smaller lots, but then making sure that they reduce the lot coverage and reduce the building height, which is the exact opposite of what we want to do. If you shrink the lot size, you need to have a higher lot coverage and you need to have a taller buildings for the same square footage to make the product marketable. So, you know, things like that, they're going to need our advice on. And our comments on the cottage housing with the garage thing still didn't make it in the recommendations. So I don't know, there's a disconnect there. It didn't make it in their draft recommendations, and that's a pretty big item to make that that housing type feasible. So
Yeah.
One thing that I thought was, so with the realtors, we had a meeting with them, with Susan. Susan was on that, and Jackie was on that, and one other person was on that. And we talked about, we haven't been able to do, you know, zoning changes or being able to do any code updates. And it sounds like they felt they would be making the code changes themselves, because my concern was, we talk about these things, we put time into it, but if there's not, you know, with the lack of staffing, if there's not staff there to implement, then, you know, what, how much of it's really going to be able to happen? And does that kind of limit and cap how much you're trying to accomplish? And they commented that they're actually going to be making the code changes themselves. And so ever since Jay left, we've had this gap on county staff for filling that code update hole. And it seems like it could be an opportunity, because it allows for long range planning to handle the code updates. And so I think trying to put anything we can in that bucket for these code updates that we're behind on, it could be really helpful for community development staff that's in a pinch, has been in a pinch, to be able to get those things done.
Good call. We maybe add that to our action plan, even though it's more of a county issue. It's something we could, you know, assist with, or at least, you know, push on to get those biannuals done.
I know that there was some discussion last year. I don't remember, was you, Terry, or Seth, that brought up about the mixed use and how it just is not working.
It was Seth. Most of those comments came, I brought it up, but most of that stuff came from Seth as far as specifics.
Yeah, and I think in the notes that I had from last month, that was the topic number 9, the biennial reviews, and I should probably elaborate on that it's the mixed use and other issues.
Changes of the cottage code and...
Yeah, cottage code, okay.
Yeah, and I know that Jeff and I were slated to discuss that and review that. However, if a lot of those, Seth, I don't have a whole lot of experience with the mixed-use code in Clark County. I do in other jurisdictions. And since you brought those up, I might suggest getting you on board to also facilitate that if and when we need to get to it and have something queued up for staff to review. I think what it's sounding like right now is that we just don't have the staffing there. Why should we go through the exercise? But if we can get kind of a laundry list of items for staff to discuss, or even come up with proposed code language, once staff is available for that, whether it be development review staff or long range staff, in order to get those code reviews changes done, that we're teed up and ready to go.
Yeah, we can share, you know, pull that together, because I know Dave Weston actually is a planner in our office, and he was the one who put most of those together after having gone through a recent mixed use project here and then also looking at another site. So
yeah, that'd be great. If you could resend some of that information with recommendations to potential code revisions, I mean, that would just put us ahead of the game, I think.
There's another email I just sent everybody. Unfortunately, the city of Vancouver at this right now, as a matter of fact, is having a open house work session on changes to their housing code, including some of the very topics that we want to cover, cottages and and other stuff. But unfortunately, the timing is obviously during this meeting. But I know they're going to have that process continue to move forward, and instead of reinventing the wheel, and maybe to try to make some consistency happen between the city and the county, we can integrate that or look at that and beg, borrow, and steal.
I'm always a proponent of shamelessly stealing the best from other jurisdictions, so that sounds right along the lines of, and they want to maintain that consistency, particularly when it comes to new annexation areas.
Yeah,
I know that code changes, this is April from the county, I know that code changes have been an issue for the last 2 years. I was just waiting for Oliver, the director of long-term planning, so that we could discuss. I would like to, between the two of us, create a code writing committee, small, but from various different departments, and we do it together. So that is my plan for this year. I do not plan to go another year without some code changes being written.
Great. That's encouraging.
And cottages are on there for discussion on my list.
Great.
Thank you.
Well, this is good information, Jamie, and it looks like I assume that you sent this to April too.
I'm doing that right now. I'm sending it to April and Brent. I unfortunately, staff is separated from my Deeb thread.
Oh, okay.
That's okay. We're both kind of new to it.
There you guys go. You got it. It's on your way. Okay. Did anybody else have any, I guess, bright ideas or thoughts after last month's meeting that we needed to include that either failed to get mentioned last month or people had given more thought to?
I know that we had also talked about one area that kind of gets left out in some of our meetings is the structural review process. I did reach out to Brian Knight with WRK Engineering, who is a structural engineer. And he left me a kind of a lengthy voicemail, and I haven't gotten back to him yet, but he did indicate that he has run into some issues associated with structural review. He qualified this by saying he doesn't do a whole lot of single family residential work, but on some of the other commercial work that he does, sounds like the county either did or does send out to a third party for structural engineering reviews on these. And it's kind of like when you send out for third party engineering or civil reviews, you're kind of at the mercy of the engineer who's reviewing it, and kind of what they say goes, and you don't have that opportunity for discussion back and forth. And what he's indicated is that he's run into several issues associated with third party reviews. For instance, one engineer thinking that a certain connection is required as opposed to the connection that was originally proposed. Lots of back and forth, red line comments, second bites at the apple. So I think that as part of our work plan, none of us, I don't think on the board right now, are well versed from an architectural or structural engineering standpoint. But we do, I think, need to include that. And I might reach back out to Brian to see what might need to happen. I guess this is just an early heads up to staff that while we take a look at, you know, process improvements from the development review standpoint and single family residential standpoint, that there's another component that I think is being overlooked and might need to be investigated as far as structural engineering is concerned.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. And I believe I put that in item number 5 of my notes.
Okay.
I didn't see that.
I don't see it here, Jamie.
It's in the last page.
Oh. Yep, there we go. Got it. Sorry, I didn't scroll down far enough. So we just want to make sure that if the county is sending out any kinds of reviews to third parties to do the review, that there's some consistency with the reviews, that it's a level playing field, that they're not taking second and third bites at the apple. That's always been a challenge. And that there's some way for the applicant's consultant to address any questions or concerns that they have directly with the review body. you know, I think we have, and correct me if I'm wrong, Brent and April, but we do have structural engineers in the building department, right? Okay. And so, but we're still sending out a lot of those plans to be reviewed by a third party, correct?
I need to check up on that because I actually wasn't aware of that.
Oh, okay.
I thought structural engineering happened on site.
All in-house?
But I'm not positive I'm right because I'm fairly new to the game, but I'm sure. Pretty sure.
If you could follow up on that.
This is Ali.
Hi, Ali.
I believe things have changed and they do most of them in-house.
Okay.
There are times that there are some, you know, projects that are really involved. And, you know, there is a high workload. And in those cases, they still send them out. But okay. The number of projects that goes out has reduced quite a bit.
Okay. Hey, thank you for that clarification, Ollie. Other than that, I didn't have anything else.
Okay, anybody else with thoughts? Andrew, Don, Eric, Dan, Terry, Jeff, I see you're on. Jeff, Perry, Seth.
Jeff, how's that final plat process going? Have they gone back to the old ways or is it still fairly smooth? Jeff? Jeff?
Mike, I can tell you, we've got a couple going through right now, and they seem like they're going pretty well.
Oh, okay, great. Well, that's encouraging. Well, good. So that just sounds like it's going to continue to be a monitoring item.
Yeah.
I will have a short announcement at the end when you are all done that I want to make before we leave.
Okay.
Okay. So it sounds like we want to take the rest of this offline and continue to fine tune this, and you guys can send in your thoughts and to Dan and I, and continue to edit this and share it round robin next month.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and query others in our office as to if they have anything that we should take a look at or address also. And that'll be a good opportunity for other staff around here to do that. And I can get any of those comments back to you, Jamie.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, we've got a plan there. So moving then to the next item on the agenda. Where did that agenda go? We've got the upload of the deep meeting agenda items, Brent and myself. So Brent, I'm assuming this is just trying to figure out a calendar here for the next couple months.
Yeah, that's my understanding. That's actually something Greg put on the agenda. Little late this morning, I reached out to him to ask if he had already had some things he's compiled, at least from staff, but things I know they have coming up over the course of the next year. When I hear back from him, I'll reach out to community planning and community development managers to see if they've got anything on their radar that they might want to bring forward to you, you know, as the year progresses. Try to keep that running so we can stay at least a few months ahead of some of those items. But at this time, I don't have anything specific.
So it sounded like, based upon what Dan and Eric had mentioned at the early outset of the meeting, that the housing stuff that you guys heard this morning and Terry is of an importance. Is that something that we want to revisit in February? Then immediately, and then take a look at the stuff in Vancouver.
I think so, Eric. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. If staff's ready to present it, I think, did we already review it? I don't think we've reviewed it and given formal recommendations on that plan. But yeah, I think if they're ready to present to us, then I think we could start providing some feedback, and probably earlier the better. the further it gets down, it probably harder it is to change that direction. So, yeah, I would say.
Do you remember when they were going to present to the council, Eric? Was it?
No, I don't have that exact date.
I think it's in. I want to say it's around the 21st of this. They're presenting around the 21st of this month, aren't they? As far as where they're at currently.
Maybe.
But then I think it's a third of four phases, as I understood it. Then they're going to have a final review that comes after that, is what I understood.
Okay. Well, I would say we could add that to our next meeting's agenda, though.
Yeah, I agree. So I think if staff's ready, I think that would be number one item.
Mm-hmm.
Would we want, just I'm kind of throwing this out there, it's not traditional, but because the city of Vancouver is also looking at doing stuff to their housing code, which as you'll see on that list, it's not insubstantial by any means. It's kind of some large changes. Would we want to invite Brian here to
we could
have an update on what they're doing,
mm-hmm,
and see how we can, you know, integrate that into the county's process?
Yeah, Jamie, can you hear me now?
What was that, Jeff?
Oh, okay, you can hear me now. I apologize. My mic, I have a new webcam and it's not working. My microphone got hijacked. I think that'd be a great idea. I saw what you emailed out. I think that'd be a good idea.
Okay, so Brent and I'll reach out to Brian to see what their availability from long range in Vancouver would be, to maybe, and so it'll be a very housing centric February meeting, I guess. And then I'm assuming that the third item could be again continuing to work on the work plan. Work on work plan. It's a lot of work.
Okay, and I can reach out to Jackie and community planning to see where they're at, and so feel like they can provide a substantive update for you guys.
Okay.
I would, from what she communicated, next month should be really good because they're closed for comment. Today's the last day, I believe, for comment, and then they're prepped for the next week, and then it goes to counselors. Then they review. So then they would get any feedback, and then that would be before, and then right after that, then we would be meeting with them. So that could work out really well.
Okay. Does anybody have anything else that they want to consider next month, or looking further down the road to the March meeting?
When does the state get into session? Is it? It's pretty soon, isn't it, Jamie? For the legislative session.
Yeah, they're going in. I believe, was it next week? And it's long session, so you know theoretically they could be done in April, and the last few long sessions they've been going until the summer months. So
yeah, where did we leave things? You know, we talked about transparency with the road bond committee, and I think that's going to change a little bit with Greg, with, you know, some transitions within staff. And so did we land the plane on that, or did it get paused because of the code, you know, not being able to do a code update? Where did that get left at? Does anyone remember?
Are you referring to the driveway setback, like within the easement?
It was anything specific like that, Ollie. I think it was more of a broader, bigger picture.
I think what we talked about, Ollie, was just when there's disagreements, that if there could be to help with that, the potential of, like, let's say a D member being involved or something like that to help with.
to be honest with you, that's how DEEP was created. I don't know if some of you recall.
Oh yeah.
Before DEEP was was formed, there were some community like the developers and the consultant had some issues with the reviews not being consistent and all that, and the county decided to form this DEEP committee in order to oversee and be some type of a referee when the staff, for example, does not apply the code correctly or ask for things that are not in the code. The DEEP would hear the case and make a decision on the issue. So that's the history of the creation of the DEEP. And it is still available. Anybody can come to the DEEP and present their issue and have DEEP take a look at it and make a determination on whether that's warranted what staff is asking, so you have that authority.
Yeah, and I remember a discussion about that not too long ago, Ollie, about that you've recommended that to certain, I don't know if it's been consultants or developers or such, that they can certainly bring that to us and we can listen to the merits of it and opine as far as the merits of staff's decision. Yet no one's taken us up on that. I can only remember one person
in the
11 years that I've been on here that has done that.
I remember Paul Williams took one up.
Paul Williams that. And nobody could figure out what the heck he was talking about.
Yeah, that was one. Yeah. And there was Byron Waltersdorf, I think. I believe Byron. That he also brought some private road issue. So two cases, at least, that I recall.
But, Terry, I think what you're more referring to, the bigger picture. And, if we continue to have to submit for the same road mods over and over, is there something prescriptive that could be in code rather than having to apply for the road mods? Because there's the whole process, time, fees, everything else associated with that. Is that kind of what you were referring to?
I mean, that was part of it. Yeah, I think conflict aspect of it was part of the discussion, but another aspect, and Eric has talked about this a lot too, is just when we have the same things coming forward and it's consistent and let's say by far the majority of the time they're consistently approved, then, it seems we need to streamline things for staff, as far as workload wise. So it helps in that regard, but also helps us on timing wise on the review and processing of projects. So it helps twofold, but it was in regards to that.
On staff's behalf, I know that, Ollie has mentioned that we can submit for draft road modification submittals without having to pay a fee, so that we can get, kind of a soft approval of any road mods, number one. And number two, they did change it to have an administrative process with either $100 fee or no fee, that you just kind of address it within the project narrative, that you don't have a formal application on some of these more minor ones. But I don't know if we need to take another look at that, if we're still running in. I don't remember the last time I had a project in the county that we didn't apply for a road modification. It's just the nature of the beast. It's similar in the city of Vancouver, though.
If I may. Currently, we review almost 60-70% of the road mod without any application or fees.
Okay.
As a courtesy, we take it to the road mod review team on Wednesday afternoon and discuss them. Again, 70% of them don't have an actual active case.
Okay.
The issue with the minor deviation which we created is that we separated the technical from minor and the minors get approved, you know, 99.9%. But the thing is, though, that the code still has a division between what is technical, what is minor. So my recommendation is that the code needs to be changed, and some of the items that keep, you know, coming up and we approve them back and forth should be placed in that minor deviation list. Without it, you know, the staff does not have authority to, you know, do any, approve anything which is not code compliant. And again, you know, I think some code revision would help. Staff is in a very tough position to try to, you know, approve a roadmap that maybe clearly is not, you know, approvable per code. Mm. You know, especially some of them have to do with this, you know, safety, which could be a major liability for the county. Let's say we have a site distance issue and we just, you know, willy-nilly approve, you know, that site distance deficiency and an accident happens. You can bet on it that the county will be sued. And it has happened many times. So, yeah, again, I'm sure that there are some improvements that could be made in order to not have every project go through multiple roadmap process. At the same time, I have to say that the staff doesn't have much of time for this either. To be honest with you, nobody enjoys trying to, you know, stop a project or try to do more work than necessary. I mean, just like you guys, the consultant, you know, you don't have time for some of these. Staff doesn't either. But again, we are kind of have to go by the code. We are kind of, our hands are sort of tied. And I'm all for, you know, making some changes to those, you know, modification that not, you know, directly safety related and doesn't, you know, create liability for the county, to make it a little lighter as far as approval criteria goes.
Yeah, so it sounds like this would be, it sounds like staff also wants to have some code amendment here to maybe lighten everybody's workload on that stuff that becomes more automatic. So I think that this would be a good topic for the March meeting, and it falls in line with our attempt to get the biannual code process moving again. So that sounds good to everybody, and maybe Ollie, if your team can think about it from, you know, in a perfect world, what would the county side look like? And I'm sure all of us on the private side have our experiences with what we'd like to see, and maybe we can have a meeting of the minds then.
Yeah, I think maybe some type of a committee, like what we have done in the past, would be beneficial. Maybe, okay, you know, people from your deep committee and a couple of staff, and maybe other people who may not be on the deep or be county staff may participate and, you know, try to discuss, you know, some of these repetitive roadmap requests, you know, and try to come up with some type of a, you know, at least a list. But at the end of the day, there's gonna have to be some type of a code revision that, you know, should happen following, you know, the preparation of that list.
Okay. Okay. So anybody else, thoughts for March?
Probably have a better idea once we get out a clean copy of the work plan.
Sure. Well, and we got a month. I mean, obviously we've got February populated and just trying to look further ahead. But yep. I think road modifications is sounds like there's both a need for it and a desire to do something there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Real quick for Mike on the plat. Dan's right. I actually checked in with a few of the stakeholders early December, and things were going smoother. I think there have been some staff changes and some training, and things are apparently going a little smoother. So the final plat, it's good news.
Great news. Okay, before we move on to public comment, April, you said you had wanted to share with the group.
I did, just really quick. It won't take long, and I really doubt that it affects this group as much, but just to keep you up to date on some announcement or an announcement that I made this week. I, of course, am very new to the director position, and we were moving ahead with e-plan solution with Computronics, which was in the works before I got here. I am pausing that for just a second, 2 months, 3 months. I just would like to, I feel like we got $1.65 million approved of taxpayers' money, and I'm entrusted to spend it wisely. And I walked in late in the game, and I just want 2 months to make sure that I'm getting the best of breed solution, EPAN solution, because the system that we have right now is capable of taking on another ePlan solution. It doesn't have to be the same solution that we are, that doesn't have to be LMS. And so I might still go with LMS. I'm not saying I'm not. I just want to make sure that I do my due diligence. So I have been announcing that this week. So I am sorry for the delay, but it will be for the best in the end.
So my comment with regards to that, April, is good. I'm glad you continue to look at it, because out of everybody that's on here, I probably use LMS the most. And I also use the ePlans with the City of Vancouver. Both of them have their good points and not so great points. One big issue with LMS right now, after I pay a fee, I got to contact someone to let them know that I paid the fee.
You won't have to do that in the ePlan solution.
Thank you.
That's only because the LMS system was built for ePlan. It was built with that in mind. And so that is a workaround until we get that module, which is what I'm delaying for 2 months. Because I want to just look at a couple other vendors and just make sure. Well, I could possibly still go with Computronics. I want to be sure before I do it.
And I would encourage you, if you haven't already, and I do this with everything, is that talk to your colleagues and your peers at the other jurisdictions, well, the City of Vancouver primarily, to see what they've experienced with what they're working on. They've made some process improvements. Really, their upload process is way smoother than the counties right now. We have to input a lot of information that the city does automatically on their end, on staff's end. Meaning applicant, owner, parcel, everything else. It's just a much smoother, much more user-friendly process than what LMS is. I'm not saying that LMS isn't bad, or I'm not saying LMS is bad. We had been pushing for electronic plan submittals for a decade, and we finally got there only because we had COVID. And it was accelerated, and it certainly is working to everybody's advantage. But you're right. I think that there's some improvements that could be made, minor, but improvements nonetheless.
Yeah. And the money's still there. So we're getting it. I just need to, before my signature goes, I need to make sure that I'm getting the best program I could possibly. I mean, I just think about technology and how fast it moves. I just want to make sure that I'm getting the best program I can get for my money. Sure. You should see how I research a toaster, much less a whole ePlan system with someone else's money. So
that's a fresh point of view.
So I'm sorry. I know that I was a big push for ePlan review. I understand the benefits, but now that I'm in this chair, I just want One more second. Yes, Terry.
So April, not off topic, so I finished, please finish, but that's I had it. A question for you. So I know that there's been, you know, like yourself and coming into a new position, I believe Ted, and I apologize if this was addressed in the...
We lost you, Terry.
I think I know what... There, are you back?
Okay. Yeah, you're back.
Oh, sorry. So, yeah, I was just saying new people into new positions and knowing what that is. I know for me, I try to be a good, I feel like part of the responsibility of us on DEEB is to help disseminate information out to others in the industry. And so I believe, if I understand correctly, Ted is replacing Susan Ellinger. And so just, is there any other things like people that are coming into positions, a little, maybe just a second of background, anything like that's kind of helpful to be able to share with others in the industry, just so they know who's on first and what's on second.
Yes. So there's three major changes probably in the last 3 months. You have me going from the permit center manager to the director. Most of my background in, was I ran large retail companies. I ran Macy's stores and Lowe's stores before I came here, and then did the 10 months in permitting, and now I'm the director. Ted, I don't know if Ted wants me to speak for him, if he'd like to speak for himself. Either way.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, but I can go ahead and give my background. I came here from the city of Boise, where I...
Go Broncos.
Yeah, I saw your mug when you were drinking. I was like, is that a BSU mug?
He has a WSU license plate in the back. I'm just going to say.
Right on. Oh.
Business in front, party in the back, right, Mike?
Right.
I'll go ahead and turn my camera on. Sorry. My office is dark because the lights aren't working. So it's not that I'm going goth on everybody. So. But anyway, yeah, I came from the city of Boise, where I was a senior planner. I had worked for the Idaho Department of Transportation as a senior transportation planner, and for the I worked for the Transit Authority in Boise as well for a while, and various other planning jobs in Boise. So, happy to be here. Glad to meet everybody and get to know and understand what goes on here at Clark County.
How's it going so far?
It's going well. It's definitely a learning curve. I have not worked at a county before, done county planning, so it's quite a bit. There's a lot different about it, and especially working in a county I'm not altogether familiar with. So there is a bit of a learning curve. It is a lot wetter over here than it is in Boise, too.
Especially this year.
Yeah.
And then third, the new permit center manager started on Monday. So her name is Emily Flint. I don't think she's on here. We did think we realized that a retail background fits well with permitting. So she has a retail background as well. Her last assignment was a regional restoration hardware for a couple of years.
And then there's one planner, I believe, that was added in the last couple months. It came from building to from permitting.
She was permitting, yes.
Okay.
And she was a permitting lead. She had been in the permitting center for 30 years.
Who's that? Strong
background. Wendy.
There. Oh, really? Oh, good. Wonderful. Glad to hear it. Wendy's awesome.
Yep. Wealth cool. of knowledge. Mm-hmm. So. Cool. And thank I you. Think that's it.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for the update. That's good to know.
Yeah. Appreciate the update there, April, on our front. And Ted, nice to put a face to the name there. And welcome again to the wet part of the Cascade. Okay, public announcements. I wasn't seeing anybody from the general public out there, but does anybody have any public comment?
No.
Okay. Hearing none, then I think we will adjourn to the meeting in February, which is February 3rd. And again, if everybody can work offline here during the next month on getting the work plan together, that would be wonderful. And Brent, you and I will make sure that hopefully we've got a good full agenda for the February 3rd meeting on housing. So with that, we're adjourned, everybody.
Right.
Thank you.
Cheers. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Have a good evening.
Happy New Year.